was born in a stable, light in our darkness. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honour Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. This is the word of the Lord. The stewards told me to wear this here. I don't know if it looks ridiculous or not, but I was just being obedient. When I was a boy, I would often struggle to get off to sleep at night. I had an active imagination plus a bit of late night TV, or maybe an anxious thoughts plus school tomorrow. I'm sure you can remember as a child yourself those sleepless nights, or perhaps you've got children or had children of your own who would lie awake for many hours. It happened to me quite a lot. You may have noticed, neither my body nor my mind is a model of peace and relaxation, even as an adult. When I was a boy, it was much, much worse, if you can imagine that. Now, my dad had a remedy for childhood insomnia. As I lay in my bed, he would, starting at my feet, gently but firmly press me down into the bed. And in a calming, soothed voice, say, heavy feet, heavy legs, heavy chest. So what? Right up to my head. And as he would do that, I'd feel a warm, deep tingle as my body relaxed, and my frantic mind calmed down, and my eyes drooped, and peace and rest and contentment would at last reach me. And I might even fall off to sleep. Good old dad. And you know, the trick still works, doesn't it, Murray? But why do I tell this story? I do so knowing that speaking of fathers in the context of God can be problematic. Many of us here had good fathers, but none of us had perfect fathers. Some of us had bad fathers, maybe appallingly bad fathers, who we would rather forget altogether. Or just no father at all, as far as we know. Father is a word that brings comfort to many of us, as he brought comfort to me, yet shudders to other people. So I am nervous using that word, but I'm going to. Because in that word, Father, despite the pain and the sadness that it means for some of us, there is something wonderful for everyone. Something none of us could live without. So I am going to talk about a Father tonight, but not the Father you remember or don't remember, whether you like remembering him or not. Not him. We're talking about someone far better, very different. In our Christmas services, we're thinking about the four symbolic names given in advance to Jesus Christ by the prophet Isaiah 700 years before his birth. And Katrina just read them for us. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And this evening brings us to the third of these, that title, Everlasting Father. This term tells us about the quality of his love, and it tells us about the duration of his love. Quality first. Everlasting Father. Now at first glance that seems a bit odd, doesn't it? Doesn't the Bible teach that God is Father, Son and Holy Spirit, and that Jesus is the Son, not the Father of those three? Is something wrong somewhere? But the key to this is the context. Those four names are honorary titles for the king of a nation to be. Rather like our monarch has the title Defender of the Faith. And it wasn't unusual for an ancient king to style himself as a father of his nation. Various pretentious tyrants have done so in our world today. It's in that context that the coming child could be called Everlasting Father. It's how it's describing how he governs his people, not where he fits into the Trinity. The idea is that as father of the nation, the king cares for his people as if they were his own children. But knowing what we do now about Jesus being the Son of God and God in his own nature, we could expand it like this. We could say, as our king, the Lord Jesus Christ brings all that fatherly love of God to us. And now the point of my opening story. Through Jesus Christ, we find the Heavenly Father we need to give us ultimate peace and rest in this world and the next. Just as my dad could give me peace and rest for a few short hours when I was a boy. Those of us with good earthly fathers have had the privilege of just a little taste of his love. Perhaps when he put us to bed at night or kicked that football around in the garden or whatever. And we can say, yeah, God's like that, isn't he? But those of us whose fathers failed us, please don't recoil at this thought. The fact that God can be your heavenly father is good news, not bad news. Through Christ, God can be to you exactly what you might have missed out on if he let you down. He can be to you perhaps exactly what your human father was not. And maybe that is what your heart is crying out for. In fact, even if you had a great dad, he had his limits, didn't he? Things beyond even the power of heavy legs to bring peace to your mind. There have been times this year when I really wish my dad could have come and settled me down in bed at night, like he used to, and taken away my fears and calmed my mind and given me peace and made me feel like everything was secure and just normal again tomorrow. But no dad in the world could have done that for me this year, could he? But because of Jesus, I have a heavenly Father. And I know that he can. And that one day he will. And I know it's true because he sent his one and only Son to die for me, for my sins, not just in spite of them, but because of them. And after Jesus had suffered far more than anything we might suffer, God the Father took him, his one and only Son, and made him whole and happy again in the resurrection. And if he could do it for him, after all that Jesus suffered, he will certainly be able to do it for me and for you. Because in Jesus we find fatherly love in all its divine qualities and depths. Love willing to go through hell and able to give us peace. As well as that quality of love, we find the Father's duration of love as well. Those pretentious ancient kings called themselves fathers, but they were very temporary indeed. And the best human dad can't last forever, can he? However good he is. But Christ is called everlasting Father. Not only does he love us through everything, he loves us forever as well. Now, time for another sentimental dad story, but not my own story this time. It's a story told by a well-known Christian leader called Jeff something, that well-known, and I've nicked it from him. But he tells how he went to stay with his elderly parents one night. He spent the evening chatting with his mum, while his father listened and smiled and nodded, but said nothing, because a stroke had robbed his father of speech some years before. He could understand everything, but say nothing. Later that night, Jeff went to bed in what used to be his old bedroom. And he lay there looking at familiar walls, remembering the past. And then there was a tap on his door. And in came his frail old dad. And slowly and unsteadily, this old man in his 80s, fragile and speechless, made his way over to his middle-aged, 40-something son as he lay in bed. And Jeff tells how his dad took the duvet and tucked it in around him, just as he used to 30 or 40 years before, and brushed a little curl of hair away from Jeff's face, and kissed his forehead, and smiled, and put him to bed, and left the room. And Jeff said, that felt really, really good, even at the age of 45, to be tucked up in bed by his dad once again. I bet he cried himself to sleep, didn't he? But it reminds us that even the best human dad won't be there forever. Mine's still fit and strong, but he's not normally there to tuck me in when I can't sleep. I could ask Suzanne, I suppose, but she's normally out like a light. It's a waste of time. And anyway, it's not the same. It's a dad thing, to be honest, isn't it? It only works if it's him. God has a fatherly love for us. A love like that, only so much better. And only he can give this love to you. This is the ultimate dad thing. Not only is it an all-powerful love, able to bring peace to our deepest fears, whatever we've done, whatever's been done to us, it's also an everlasting love that will never grow old and frail, never lose its strength and speech, never betray itself, always be faithful and true. And you can know peace and rest from your sins and your struggles that goes far deeper and lasts far longer than anything the best human father could ever deliver to his child. And again, the guarantee of that is Jesus. Jesus has died and risen again. And he is with God the Father now, never to die again. If you entrust your life to him, then you can be sure that there is a love waiting for you. A love deep enough for everything and long enough forever. The love of the everlasting Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved the world, and so you sent your Son to bring the love of the everlasting Father to our hearts. May that love come to us tonight, we pray. Amen.